Blog Talk Radio.
Archangels, ghosts, and Bigfoot. Oh my! It's just another night for Supernatural Girls. Real stories, real answers to life's biggest supernatural mysteries. And now for another exciting interview with paranormal experts from this world and others. Psychic medium Helene Olson and paranormal researcher Patricia Baker. Here are Supernatural Girls.
Good evening, everyone, and I am Helene Olson. I thank you all for joining us for another fantastic journey into the metaphysical arena. And tonight is June 1st, which seems amazing to me. June 1st, 2013, it's amazing how quickly time has sped up and how quickly all of the new seasons and all of the heat, especially in the Boston area, comes upon us. So tonight we're here with our special expert guest, Joshua Shapiro, who will be talking about crystal skulls. And hello, Patricia, my fabulous partner in crime.
Hello, Helene. My God, we've had such exciting adventures lately. It's great to be back, isn't it?
It really is, and I have to say that I don't know if Blog Talk's playing tricks on us right now, but it seems like we're having a little difficulty with the board, so we'll just go with it, right?
We're going to go with the flow here. That's what it's all about tonight, but we've got some fabulous guests, as you mentioned. I'm excited to talk to them. I don't know a lot about these crystal skulls, but I'm very excited to learn everything that we can and pass this on to our live audience. So we have some paranormal news also.
Well, first I want to talk about the heat in the Boston area.
Go
because you know how I am about the weather, right?
There. Something we can all relate to.
I mean, we went from the sublime to the ridiculous lately, and, you know, we were in the 40s a week or so ago, and now it was like hitting 95.
It was too fast. It's all of a sudden. I mean, it was really stifling. Here I am. 2 weeks ago, I was mowing my lawn the same day of the show. This time, I was mowing the lawn the same day of the show. But I had to break it up into four parts because I just started to melt out there. Melt. I mean,
yeah.
It was just
I know you have like a farm out there, but I have like these little plants and pots and not much to talk about. But I like it, so I'm running around trying to water everything and getting my kids to water everything. And they're spilling the water, and the hose is who knows where. I haven't even found it yet.
Jeez, that's not good.
No.
Yeah, it's a whole different
mindset
kind of
when
the heat kicks in, isn't it?
It is, but yesterday I went to the beach at 8:30 in the morning.
I am so jealous.
It was beautiful. But really, at about 9:45, it was like I couldn't stand it anymore. It was just too hot.
Wow.
So, yeah, but it was fun
Unusual.
Yeah. Yeah, but you have all those beautiful trees and the forest near you, so that keeps it nice and cool for you.
It does.
Yeah.
In the winter, we totally freeze. So.
Yeah, that ocean air keeps us a little warmer than you are.
It does. See, I'm jealous again. It's not going to stop tonight.
Yeah, but there's nothing like that magical forest, Patricia. It's just beautiful. So.
Yeah, it is magical. That is for sure. Sometime you and I are going to go back there with cameras and take pictures of all the sprites and fairies and gnomes and everything else.
Yeah, and a little bit of mace for the bears.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. I'm really
afraid.
Don't
worry, I'll protect you, Helene.
Okay. So what are we doing for paranormal news tonight?
Well, we've got this incredibly cool and very hopeful story that is coming out of Ohio. It was on their local television news channel, and it's about a young girl who has leukemia. And she was under treatment, and the cancer came back. And her parents took a photograph of her kind of waving these sparklers in the air. And when they went to look over the photos, they were shocked to see what they believe is the Mother Mary standing next to their daughter. And there
that
are several.
Image, it's so clear.
It is
it's not
clear.
Like you have to use your imagination to see another person, or I should say being, standing in the picture. It's just so clear.
It is so clear. It's right. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing photo, and it's interesting because we seem to be able to capture more and more of these. I know I posted on our pages photos that Becky Andreasen had taken of angels in her home, and they were, again, as striking as this, but the remarkable
they
story
were.
About this,
oh, they were amazing pictures.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, everybody should definitely sign up for the newsletter at supernaturalgirls.com so you can get these photographs that Becky has taken. They are amazing. But this photo with this little girl who had leukemia is interesting also because apparently after this photograph was taken, she did go in for a bone marrow transplant and today is cancer-free. So there's a happy ending to this story, which is nice, and let's hope that all holds. But again, what the parents were saying is we're not saying that anybody cured her or healed her for good, or we don't know. But what we do know is that we have company here. We're being watched, and our little girl is being watched over. And that's just got to be such a comforting feeling to the parents of this little girl.
I mean, it's just, oh, it's like a gift from the divine, you know, just to be able to see that image was really, I don't know. I kind of take it as the energy around the planet has shifted a lot. So many more people, you know, there's been big openings energetically. And many more people are seeing ghosts, they're seeing spirit energy, you know, all of that. And I think because they're able to come through our denseness here in 3D land easier, that's why some of the photographs are coming out with more definition and more clarity.
I agree, and that's, again, what's so exciting for all of us who have said this stuff exists. And again, seeing Becky Andreasen's photo of the angel with the big blue wings and the white robe, I mean, it was a lot of what, like, you would imagine an angel to look like, and there it was right in the photograph. So, and again, this photograph of the child who's just having a wonderful time with her sparklers and running, you know, with the sparklers in both hands, and then this photo was snapped, and there is this beautiful being who may very well be married looking on. So
it may be. Yeah.
It's just isn't that a nice feeling to know that these angelic spirits and beings are here, they're interested, and hopefully helping?
Well, they're here in service to us, and they're trying to help the planet as much as they can at this time. You know, they have been for many years. And so it's remarkable. It's remarkable
it is.
That we're able to get this sort of photographic evidence in some way. And I know there are a lot of people who just don't believe it. It was tampered with. There was someone standing behind the girl, whatever. But there are just too many of them to discount them.
I agree. And if anybody would like to see these that's listening tonight, you can go to 19actionnews.com. And again, that's the number 19actionnews.com. And you can see the entire news report there as well as several photographs. So for anybody who wants to see it with their own eyes, that's where you want to go. Again, that website is 19actionnews.com.
Yes, and people should go over to supernaturalgirls.com and sign up for the fabulous newsletter that Patricia and her staff put out every week. Also, if you'd like to listen on your phone or call in a question for our guest live, you can dial 646-478-0828. And beyond that, we've had some interesting experiences, Patricia, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Haven't we, though? Last weekend, you and I stayed up all night for two nights in a row, and my God, I thought those days were long past that kind of thing.
Oh, long past. It was tough.
We took it on again, Helene, you and I. And it was a remarkable experience, though, wasn't it? I have no words yet for it.
There aren't really words for it other than all I can say, it was sort of a connection to source energy in higher consciousness that was phenomenal. And we'll be talking more about that whole program and workshop in weeks to come. But what an amazing clearing it was for both of us and everybody else who was in the workshop. But beside that, an absolute connection to source energy that I've found just astounding just this week. So it's been really something.
It has been.
There aren't many words to describe it, though, are there?
There aren't. And what I'd like to share with everybody is that it's been an amazing psychic opening for both of us and a connection that, as you said, is to source energy. And what that really means is source energy. I mean, that's it right there. So it goes beyond anything that we've known before, we've seen before. This just took the cake for the best and the brightest and the greatest of our experiences that we've shared together, and I know it's going to continue. And we will eventually find the words, and we'll be talking about it in our blog, which is, you can find that on our website, supernaturalgirls.com. And we will be sharing more and more with you as the weeks go by. We've got some fabulous new guests coming up. And should we bring on our fabulous guest for tonight?
Let's find Joshua Shapiro, skull expert. Crystal skull expert, I should say. Good evening, Joshua. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patricia and Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you for spending your valuable time with us. I mean, crystal skulls have been really a fascination for a lot of people, and I think that just in the past several years, it's become a really popular topic of conversation and interest, hasn't it?
Well, all I can tell you is every week we hear from new people all over the world. So I remember in what I call my early days, which was in the early 1980s, there weren't that many people that were interested. And then I think around the middle part of the 1990s, all of a sudden things shifted and people wanted to have their own crystal skulls, and carvers started creating new ones. And now with the older ones that are coming out, so many are coming out, it's almost impossible to keep up with it. So I interpret all of this in collaboration with your statements that you are already making, that 2013 is going to be a year like we have never seen before. So these kind of special tools or sacred tools are really starting to come out now in full force as a catalyst to awaken people in their, you know, spiritual evolution and their growth. And I can tell you there are over 20 skulls that are watching me as I'm talking to you right now, and they seem to be pretty pleased that we're talking about them because they're very delighted, and I'll have to explain that through your questions. How could they be delighted like they're alive? They're very delighted that, you know, people are interested.
I have a funny comment for you on that one. About a half hour or 45 minutes ago, I was just thinking about your skulls, and one of them spoke to me. I think it's a pink one. And it said, "I'm going to be famous." I said, "Okay, we'll talk about it later." It was pretty funny. And so before we start getting into all that and, you know, talking about your specific skulls and trying to get some information from them, maybe you can just give us a little bit of your background, even though you've a published author and have been way out there in the media and so forth. I think people who are listening tonight might want to know, like, what first attracted you? Because I have to say that when I read a crystal skull about 6 years ago, I was very apprehensive. I, you know, just have this 3D part of my personality that went, I don't know if I like the way the skull looks, you know. So I had to make a leap of faith on that one. And so it's interesting to me that you got involved so early on. And how did that occur?
Well, let's see, how can I phrase this? I would say that when I was in my teens, I think I awoke to the spiritual aspect of who I was. And then after I got out of college, I started to, eventually it came to a point where I literally quit my jobs and I lived on faith. And I was just kind of going on faith, traveling around the country. First it was UFOs. And I hope we can talk about that because there's a special report we've been sharing with people about UFOs this year.
Sure.
And
we'd love to talk about UFOs.
Great. Okay. And then this led me somehow to San Jose, California. Now, this is 30 years ago, 1983. So that means I was 28 years old. And I had a friend who had a metaphysical bookstore that was across the street from the Rosicrucian Park in San Jose, California. And at this time, I had published my first book called Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker, which basically was just sharing all the information I was collecting while I was traveling on faith about the manifestation of the Aquarian Age. And so I hadn't really had contact with crystal skulls, although like everyone else in the 80s, I saw Arthur C. Clarke's special television show where he shows the Mitchell Hedges skull and so on. But I hadn't really had contact. And I walked into my friend's bookstore and, you know, was talking to her, and she pulled out a picture of an amethyst crystal skull, which for your listeners, amethyst is a purple quartz. And, of course, I had never seen this crystal skull, but I guess part of what I'm about is having experiences and then as a writer and a speaker try to explain in simple terms what these experiences are about. So as I'm looking at this picture, I'm feeling an earthquake going on inside of me, you know, a really strong vibration shaking me. And then about a half an hour later, there's a real earthquake in California, and the picture of this skull, and I'm just looking at a picture now, not the real skull yet, is vibrating on the table while there's the earthquake. So there was an inner earthquake and an outer earthquake, and the bottom line of all this was is that I sensed from this experience within this hour or so that I heard kind of like inside of myself, but I think it's soul memory from working with them in other lifetimes or on other planets. Soul memory said, the crystal skulls are vital for the future of humanity. Now that you've been reactivated, what are you going to do about it? So that's how I started. And then I had the experience to meet that crystal skull in person. And I had another experience. The people who had it, basically what was happening with this skull is a Mayan priest who had, I guess, came across it. It was out of Mexico. His people in his poor village were really suffering. So he was trying to sell various artifacts to get money, and the skull was one of them. And there was a business group that bought this skull. And the Mayan priest never repaid the loan he received. So then they were trying to offer it to people, and I just happened to come to a meeting. So they had it in a vault in an art gallery. I was invited. They took it out. Then they said, okay, you can touch it. So I touched it on the top part of the skull, and I felt an energy go all the way up through my right hand, up into my shoulder, and then in my mind's eye, I saw the skull floating over my right shoulder. And it's kind of like I made a connection with the essence of the energy of this skull, but I didn't understand anything because, you know, this is my first time having a direct contact. But the owner of the bookstore gave me pictures, and I started to share the pictures of the skull, and I wound up coming back into that area. I think it was in 1985, and I met the co-authors of the first book I wrote, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, Sandra Bowen and F.R. Nick Nocerino, and that's when I really started to understand it because they had already been doing research with crystal skulls for many years. So that's how it started for me.
That's amazing. So do you know where the amethyst crystal skull is now?
Well, what happened is in 2009, this business group that had the skull and was trying to sell it, they did sell it. And unfortunately, the individual who purchased it has never announced their identity, although there's one of the guardians who says she thinks she knows who it is, but it's never been announced. And I desperately need to talk to that guardian. I have information about that crystal skull. I think that would be of benefit. So we don't know exactly where it is. I confirmed with the lawyer for the business group that it had been sold, but due to confidentiality, of course, they couldn't discuss it with me. Now, if I had several thousand dollars and was willing to hire that lawyer, they probably could get for me a message to the guardian without revealing themselves, but I've never been able to come up with that. And unfortunately, you know, this skull moved around because of money, and that has nothing to do with what the crystal skulls are about. So that's all I know about that.
That one is extremely powerful. And so it's an amazing connection, and I hope that you find it someday.
Do you have a sense, Helene, of who might have it or where in the country or where in the world it might be?
No, I just have a sense that the person who now owns it understands its power.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this journey for you...
It eventually ended up in the hands of someone who understood the power of the skull and what kind of information they could get, and they're using it for the benefit of themselves, but maybe also for humanity, because I'm getting a feeling that this person is also interested in revealing information to humanity, so...
Well, let's hope.
Yeah.
Let's hope they're using it for good purposes, honorable purposes.
It feels that way to me. And, you know, it's tough, especially with the ancient crystal skulls. I mean, I think they have a cosmic connection. And if you want to call it alien connection, I guess some people put that kind of term to it. But I would say it's more like cosmic intelligence most of the time that they want to help the planet. Don't you agree, Joshua?
Well, that's been my experience. And I've been in the presence of many of the, what our skulls call their older brothers and sisters. It could be ones, could be thousands, 10,000, 100,000 years old. We don't know. There's definitely a living consciousness that works through these crystal skulls. And the only way I can define it is when a crystal skull finds its true guardian, that guardian has encoded in their DNA the ability to open up the crystal skull so that it can make this contact with all kinds of different beings. But what it seems like for me is that it still has something to do with who the individual is, because, for example, the first crystal skull that I received, Portal de Luz, which is Portal of Light in English, is a 10-pound smoky quartz skull that was carved by my friend Leandro de Souza in Brazil. And, you know, this is a new skull, but yet Portal, which is what I call him for short, when we were in Holland, faked out a Mayan elder who thought he was a very old skull. And I think it was because of the living consciousness that was working through the skull, plus the energies that Portal had picked up in our travels with the older brothers and sisters. Because I believe quartz crystal has the ability to record all the frequencies and energies that are around it. So I agree with you. There's, you know, cosmic, extraterrestrial, inner Earth, all kinds of different types of consciousnesses that will use these crystal skulls, which are like energy vortexes and portals into other dimensions, in order to have another way to have a direct contact with us.
And, you know, it's really funny, Joshua, because I often use crystal skulls in this analogy that they're basically telephones. And it kind of connects where it's meant to connect. But, you know, there's a big controversy about whose skull is more ancient, and is it really 10,000 years old? Is it really brand new? But my opinion of that is that it doesn't matter, because the skull itself is a very strong symbol. And so it becomes a transmitter. And whether it's brand new or ancient, there's the possibility that it's connected to something very powerful and very, very cosmic. And so do you agree with that, or do you think the older ones are more valuable or have more information?
I'm going to give you a message for Portal de Luz. They are one family. When they talk to each other, they don't say to each other, "Well, you're an older crystal skull, so I'm going to bow down and respect you." No. What they do is they say, "Hey, brother, sister, great to be here. What energy, what information have you stored? Let's share it." So amongst the crystal skulls themselves, if, as I say, there is some type of living consciousness that's connected to it, they don't even think about that in that way whatsoever. Now, we could talk a little bit about the differences and purposes of these different skulls that might help people to understand, you know, why do we have these very old ones? Why do we have the new ones? Why do we have an intermediate type? And then there are ported crystal skulls that are happening now. We have one that's sitting here with our group. So what I think is the ancient crystal skulls, they were with civilizations long ago, or they were gifts from the gods. And the whole point of those crystal skulls is to be a catalyst to awaken humanity to who we are, divine children of God. The newer crystal skulls do not necessarily take on the higher vibrational frequencies which their older brothers and sisters have recorded, because there's a lot of people I've seen this with some of the ancient ones where they get blown away. They're not ready or prepared to deal with the high level of energy that those skulls have recorded, whereas the newer ones that are being made have the energies of today. They prepare people, so if they want to meet some of the older skulls, they're ready. But the newer ones, again, depending upon who the guardian is, they can have some very high spirits that will come through them. And like I said, you know, the Mayan shaman that I met, he thought that portal was a very old one, and maybe the spirit or the consciousness that was working through is, but mm-hmm. the actual crystal was, you know, mine probably 1998, made into mm-hmm. a skull at the end of 1998 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's old crystal skulls, which are defined as being over 100 years to maybe 1,000 or 2,000. Some of those skulls I've seen, which I think fall into that, and it's just not to put a value on which ones are more powerful than another, but just to understand the different kinds of skulls that exist. They also have power, but they seem to be, in appearance, more primitive-looking, and some of the ancient ones have a very advanced structure to it. But the modern carvers today, and I don't know if you were talking about the rose quartz skull we have called Rosalita, which is a human size with a movable jaw that was made by an advanced carver in China. You know, the old ones have a different type of energy. Probably they've recorded, since a lot of them come out of Mexico and Central America, the Mesoamerican people. And then we have these apported skulls, which are skulls that are coming through like mediums or, you know, coming purportedly from nowhere that are manifesting, which mm-hmm. probably would be the category of the crystal skull that I wrote about in my latest book called The Blue Skull, which is a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. It really is. I think we're going to take this moment to take a break right now, Patricia. What do you think?
I think that's fine. And then if anybody has a question, please feel free to call in 646-478-0828. Again, that number is 646-478-0828. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for staying tuned to our expert guest, Joshua Shapiro, author and researcher with Crystal Skulls. And welcome back, Joshua. And Patricia, I think we have a question in the chat room.
We do. Jillian has a great question. Wants to know, has Joshua ever come across a Moldavite skull?
I don't know if I personally have seen a Moldavite skull, but what I can tell you is that the modern carvers today, they're able to take any type of gemstone and they're making skulls out of it, so I would not be surprised that there are some Moldavite skulls that exist. As far as one, like we called ancient or very old, I don't know of one like that, but I'm sure, I probably have heard some people talk about it, so I'm sure there are some made by the modern carvers today.
Because Moldavite has some very special properties, right, when it comes to alien energy. Is that true?
Well, that's my understanding, because Moldavite is supposed to be kind of a stone that's come from, you know, the cosmos, that's landed on Earth. So it could very well be have connection to extraterrestrial or special frequencies of energy. That's been what I've heard other people have experienced. I haven't felt a strong connection to Moldavite like other people do, but everybody is individual. So I generally find myself more strongly connected with the quartz skulls than the gem or mineral skulls. But what did we have? There was one stone we received. I can't remember the name of it. It's called fake gold. And I just can't...
Pyrite?
Yes, exactly. Pyrite. I was surprised that I felt strongly connected to. So it's kind of an individual thing. Like, you
now,
know,
what
if you had a... Go ahead.
So let's say if Jillian feels affinity for Moldavite, and could she then hire somebody to carve a skull for her out of Moldavite?
Yeah, or there might already be some skulls that are made. They might be on eBay or, you know, like, for example, we have contact with some carver, so we could ask on her behalf if this is a stone they can get. The key is that usually what happens is the person that's working on behalf of the carvers has to provide them with the stones for them to do the carving. So it's just a question of getting the stone. Sometimes somebody wants a specific type of skull and they'll provide to the carver, you know, the actual stone to use for the carving. So it's very possible.
And how much does something like that cost? I would imagine you have to discuss with them a price based on the size of the skull and things like that. But can you give our audience kind of a sense of the price involved for something like that?
Well, I don't know what it would cost for a Moldavite. I can only give a price because normally we sell the quartz skulls. So, you know, little small ones that would fit in your palm of your hand, you can probably buy between $20 and $50 or $60, and then the human-sized skull that we have, which we call Rosalita, I think would cost like $5,000.
So, wow.
No, but the,
so the Rosalita one is that you said it's a full human skull size, right?
Right.
So it's a large 13, size.
Right. She weighs 13 pounds, which means it would take a block of rose quartz to create her, plus the carver, we got pictures from the carver, he had to separate that stone into two pieces, one for the lower jaw and one for the rest of the skull. But it usually takes a stone about 3 to 4 times the size. So if she's 13 pounds, we're talking about a 40 or 50-pound block of rose quartz in order to cut into it to make the skull.
Incredible, yes. So there's quite a bit of material involved to create something that's a life-size skull.
Yep.
So, yeah, well, maybe Jillian should look into that for Moldavite, even one of the smaller ones, because according to what you're saying, some of the smaller ones can be pretty powerful.
Yeah, we found that size doesn't really matter. You know, it's just personal preference. But, you know, we have small skulls that are very powerful, and then we have our larger ones that are just as powerful. So it doesn't really matter. I think the key is if somebody's looking to get their own crystal skull, like if they go into a store, if they're looking on eBay or whatever, they need to feel the energy. And when they meet the right one, they know. Like sometimes we put pictures of the ones we have available, and somebody will contact, that's my skull. It's talking to me. I must have it. So, you know, there was a group of people we work with in Canada. when we did a coast-to-coast tour in 2011 where we started from North Carolina, we came all the way across the United States, went up into Canada, Alberta, British Columbia, then came down because I had to do an interview for National Geographic in San Francisco. And there were friends who gave us, I think, like, you know, 160, 170 skulls. All of them are gone. I looked at them and I thought, you know, are we going to find somebody for each one of those? And we did. So it's really, it's kind of a personal type of thing.
Yeah, why don't you take this opportunity now, Joshua, to give you a website?
Okay, sure. Thank you. The main website that we have, it's very easy since we're called Crystal Skull Explorers, is just crystalskullexplorers.com. And on our website, we have a free ebook and a free newsletter, and also people get to see, I was able to make a special video on the new book, so they see pictures of my journeys to Peru looking for that blue skull, and we have some articles there and all kinds of material. But if they start at crystalskullexplorers.com, they can find, you know, all the things that we're offering and information, etc.
That's great. Now, I've gone to some of these crystal shows where they have all kinds of gems and minerals. It's a gem and mineral show, and they have crystals and crystal skulls. But most of the crystal skulls that I've had the occasion to see at these places are very crudely done. Now, how much skill? I mean, obviously, it takes skill to make the kind of skull that's going to be looked at as a replica of the human skull. But does it matter? Like, if somebody like Jillian wants to go get a multivite skull and she can only afford one that's, you know, $100, so it's going to be smaller and probably not all that well carved, does it matter in terms of its ability to transmit energy and record information?
I think, again, it's really, it's personal choice. I mean, like, for example, I've watched certain people where their skulls that we actually had, and I thought, you know, I'm not very attracted to it, but yet somebody was. So I think what it is, it's a combination of the stone, who the person is that carved it, and the energy that the stone has. But here's one thing that I've also observed. When a crystal, I think the crystal skulls pick us and we don't pick them. And I also think, too, that once a skull knows, like there was a medium that sat with Portal de Luz just after I received him as a gift. And this is a 10-pound skull, and she was going into it, and she was talking about that when this skull was carved, it already knew that it was going to eventually find me. So I think what happens is it's almost like when the skull is made, it already makes a connection energetically, I would guess, with the individual that eventually it's going to find. And when that person looks at it, you know, they don't care about the form or whatever, however it looks. You know, they just feel energetically connected. So, you know, to say one skull is better than another or it has to be a certain form, again, I've seen that it's individual. And the same thing happened, too, when I was traveling only with Portal de Luz and I was doing my private consultations. I only had one skull, so I knew which one people were going to work with. But when Portal de Luz started to get brothers and sisters, you know, I thought, well, everybody's going to want him because he's the largest one and the most powerful. And that wasn't the case. I had a little tiny rose quartz skull and a small smoky quartz, and there were people who were actually more powerfully drawn to the smaller skull. So it's really individual, but also, too, if the person is going to have somebody carve it or whatever, they should see what the person has done, their work, what style of skull, and make sure that they appreciate it, not just give it to somebody just because they say they're a carver. I mean, there's going to be very talented carvers, and there's going to be poor carvers, or there might be people doing skulls where they're mass producing them and they're not really giving them attention or detail in the carving. It's like anything else, you know?
Yeah. So if someone wanted a skull carved, could they email you and ask you for recommendations?
Yes, or we would talk with the contacts that we have to see if we can provide for them what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we can definitely help.
I'm not sure that every single skull has already connected to the specific energy of a person that they chose ahead of time. I think a lot of times it's just how the skull resonates with your energy when you meet it. So some of them close down and some of them open for various people. Do you think that's also the case?
Yeah, I think so. I'm sure they're making so many skulls, I'm sure that there are many skulls that do not have what we call their home or true guardian. You know, and Pardo just said, and the reason for that is, he calls me Dad, he says, Dad, it's because some of them need to stay where they are to help energize and work with Mother Earth, you know, like the grids and everything.
Yeah.
Because that's what our souls do, too. When we're traveling, you know, and we're in different places, they're, you know, they're doing things on other levels we're not even aware of, where they're working with the energy grid. So it could be that some skulls need to be positioned in a certain place, and they're not going to get a guardian, maybe for years, just so they stay there.
Well, my perception of it was that they like some people's energy more than others, and it doesn't mean somebody has bad energy, it's just not the right skull for them. So it doesn't have to be pre-planned who they're going to all the time, but they're going to pick a high vibration with someone to work with.
No, I still think that understand who their guardian will be, because just like the extraterrestrials, in my study of them, it's difficult to understand them because they don't exist in the space and time we exist. I think there's an aspect of crystal skulls which is the same. So it's hard. You know, what we try to do is we try to explain things as we understand our reality. And just as you were saying at the beginning, this reality that we're used to, there are openings that are now happening to the other dimensions. And as a result of that, there are more, you know, so-called paranormal phenomena and miraculous things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to do the same with the skulls, to try to give and say it's exactly this. The one thing I've learned from the crystal skulls is you can never come up with an explanation that's going to work for every condition and every situation and every skull. They're each individual, just like we're individual.
Right. Now, do you use your skulls in rituals or in healing the earth or connecting on a big energetic level for the planet?
What we do is on the 13th of each month, at the 13th hour local time for whoever participates with us, we do a world peace meditation where we work with the crystal skulls. And the role in which crystal skulls play for that is that they are amplifying the energy that we're working with. Now, we have probably done over 50 of these meditations. So let me tell you how it started. I was interviewed by Yuri Geller, who's known as the Spoonbender.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was in 2007. And he asked me a question. He said, well, you know, it's fine and good about that these crystal skulls have energy and everything, but how could they be used to help to create world peace? And that's when I came up with the idea or the vision, you know, saying, well, what if we could get all these people meditating at the same time, or, you know, because we're doing it at the 13th hour, so that means we have people in every time zone possibly who are doing the meditation, so the energy is flowing. But sometimes we've done the meditation where we've had, like, three specific times, trying to make sure it's at a good time no matter where a person lives on the planet or people are meditating. So I thought about that, but I couldn't really figure out how exactly do I do this meditation. Well, in 2008, as some people might recall, the Indiana Jones film came out, which had basically one main skull, which turned into 13 skulls at the end, and then became an alien. And so around this time, I was invited to go to a conference in Italy, and my friend Bill Holman, who's the guardian of the most well-known crystal skull, the Mitchell Hedges Crystal Skull of Love, I lived in Chicago at that time, and he was in Indiana. So we got to go together. And I remember when we got into Italy, our bags didn't arrive, so we didn't have clothes to put on, so people were kind of helping us out. But anyway, prior to going to that conference, I had a chance to visit Mr. Holman in his house. And for the first time, I was allowed a private meditation with the Mitchell Hedges skull. That was the most powerful meditation that has forever changed my life. It was about 20 minutes. There was a period of time I was so peaceful, I felt like I was in heaven. And then the other thing, and I don't know how to exactly describe this, but in my mind's eye, because I don't see, like, some people have a gift of vision, they can see the orbs and the spirits. The only thing I see is I see colored lights that flash at me. But my spirit guide said that if you see something in your mind's eye that's actually more powerful than what you would see, like if you're looking at it and you see it, because it's really coming from an inner level. But anyway, in my mind's eye, I see that there is a presence in the room floating behind the skull to my right as I'm looking at it. Of course, I had three of my skulls there, too, in a triangular pattern around the Mitchell Hedges skull. Portal de Luz was, of course, one. And this being, well, actually, I don't know, it was universal consciousness. So I don't think it was an individual, you know, like we, like I'm talking with both of you, you are individual. But not just one individual consciousness. This was universal, group, I don't know how to describe it. So what happened to me is I think it helped me to open up my heart chakra, and it really got me to a point where things don't bother me so much anymore, because I was born as an Aries, so if you know Aries people, they can get really huffy and puffy. And then I went with Bill to Italy 3 months later, and then I'm in the presence of Mitchell Hedges Go, and I get sick. I have a fever, and I'm very concerned that I'm not going to be able to do my presentation. So what happened is they had to leave me in the hotel and pick me up probably like 20 minutes before I did the meditation. I think I had a fever also, and I was able to, you know, because again, as Aries, if somebody's going to pay my way to come, I'm going to do my presentation. I don't care if I'm sick or whatever. I must complete what I've agreed to do. So I did my hour presentation. Of course, the Mitchell Hedges Go was right there in front of me as I was speaking again. And then I literally passed out after that, and they couldn't send me back to the U.S. But what was really neat about the experience is first I was in heaven, then I was ill, but, of course, that's going through transformation. Is before I came back from Italy, I had been thinking about, well, how do I do these world peace meditations? I got the answer. I was told you have to do it on these certain days and so on and so forth, and it has to start on the January 1st of 2008. So basically the Mitchell Hedges Go, being in its presence, helped me to do those meditations. And then, you know, we just continued it. We did 13. We probably did 27. I think in 2008 we did 27 meditations, and then I think 13 more and so on. So anyway, we've been doing it since 2009. On the 888 is when I announced it, and January 1st of 2009 we started. But there are many people that I personally know who will do ceremony with their crystal skull in sacred sites. And or they will take them to sacred sites in order to be energized, or they will do personal, you know, meditation. If they hear our meditations going on, they'll take their crystal skull and bring it out. Because again, what I feel happens is when the skulls participate, they're amplifying the energy. Now, I never know when we do our meditations, because of course, you know, in about 2 weeks we have the next one coming up, how many people we have that are doing it at on these days. I'm guessing hundreds, but I feel that every time we do the meditation, we're building on the energy that we've built up from all the meditations prior, and that it does make a difference. It is really helping. So
that's remarkable.
You're spending a lot of your time and energy not only spreading the word about the crystal skulls, but also doing some work to help people find a more peaceful place. And certainly there's been enough studies on meditation that says that when you do meditation and you do it regularly, you can actually help lower the crime rate and lower angst and anxiety, you know, within a certain radius. So it's wonderful that you're working with these skulls and using them as an amplifier for all of the good stuff that you're putting out.
Well, the thing it is that I find being a crystal skull explorer is that every day is a new day, and you don't always know what's going to happen. And, you know, sometimes I wake up, because I think what happens is when I go to sleep, Katrina cannot wake me. I think I'm really out there. I'm having conversations. I'm talking. And when I come back, I wake up, I have some great ideas. And I'm assuming that it comes from those, you know, conversations. But sometimes it comes when I'm meditating with the crystal skulls. I would have to say, out of all the meditations I've ever done, the most powerful for me, now this is just for myself, everybody's unique and different in this, is when I have the right music and I'm holding, I call them my crystal children, when I'm holding one of them, or the one that says, Dad, we want to do a meditation or we need to do a meditation together, then that's the most powerful meditations I've ever had. And, I mean, I don't know, I'm crying, I feel joy, I feel I'm connecting to something deep inside because, you know, I believe we're all one. We all have a link to Creator, and that what I've been shown through my experiences is that if you are spontaneous and you don't try to plan things, that's when you're going to link in to that divine part that's inside of you. So you just have to kind of let go. And also being a musician, I can tell you, I don't know how good a musician I am, but, you know, there are songs that come in. I'm playing guitar, and there are songs that come in, and I learned to totally let go and try to do the best I can to sing and perform it. There is an energy that comes from somewhere, that comes inside. And it, I can't tell you if this is like an energy from another source or if this is an aspect of myself which normally is not expressed on the earth level. I think it's more that. It's that in that moment, the door is open, I'm in the right place in the right space, and there is amazing energy that comes through. And that, I think, maybe for men more than women, is the hardest thing when you're, you know, going through your spiritual evolution and growth is to trust that, that there's something greater than yourself that's inside of you. And if you can be spontaneous, it'll start showing itself. So, and with the higher frequencies of energies that are happening in 2013, I almost feel to say if a person doesn't allow themselves to be spontaneous, they're going to be fighting the energies. They're going to be creating more problems than they can imagine. It's really trying to go with the flow and take it day by day.
You put that so eloquently, Joshua. You really did. And it is about acceptance and allowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, I have a specific question. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sure. Go ahead. The last comment is when you do that, it takes you on the greatest adventures of your life. Okay, go ahead with
your
question.
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah.
I have a specific question for you about, you kept saying the 13th day, the 13th hour. What does the number 13 do in relation to your connection with the skulls?
Well, related to the crystal skulls, there is some legends. Now, I can't verify where exactly the legends come from, but I have a strong sensing soul memory that there is a truth to this, that there is an original set of 13 crystal skulls. Now, if anyone saw the documentary done by the Sci-Fi Channel in 2008 after the Indiana Jones film came out, they tried to figure out, are any of these 13 original skulls known? And, you know, they were saying, well, maybe the Mitchell Hedges skull and Max, and there's another one called E.T. and Synergy and so on and so forth. So now, whether this comes from, let's say, Atlantis, Lemuria, or whether this comes through some of the indigenous cultures, because I know the Mayans talk about a set of 52 skulls, which could be four sets of 13. A lot of people feel an affinity for this concept or idea that they're a master set. And in our first book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, which, by the way, is out of print, and we only have like 20 copies left, and then it's pretty much gone. My co-author, Mr. Nasserino, also was talking about this in his interview about the possibility of 13 skulls, like maybe in Atlantis, it would have a larger skull in the center surrounded by 12 skulls. But the other thing that you find is if you study any of the major religions like Christianity or Judaism, they also talk about the number 13 too, the Christ and the 12 apostles. Or there's a book called by L. Taylor Hansen, He Walked the Americas, where they're talking about different indigenous cultures that had contact with this white bearded man, maybe it was Jesus or Christ, I don't know, and he would create 12 assistants to carry on his teaching. They also say in Judaism, the Levites, which are the priests in the 12 tribes of Israel. So again, you have the 12 surrounding the one, or I believe our solar system is the sun surrounded by 12 planets. Now, we know of 9. They're pretty sure there's another planet beyond Pluto because of something to do with gravitation. But according to George Hunt Williamson, who was an early UFO contactee in the 50s, there are 2 other planets in front of Mercury we cannot see because of the light of the sun. He claims that, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this word correctly, a valence, which is like a spot of light that appears within the light of the sun, is the light that's coming through those planets, because every planet, now I'm going way out here, every planet is hollow with the sun at the center and openings at the poles. So that's the light from the inner sun coming out that we can see. So, I mean, some crazy stuff talked about here, but there's a possibility.
Well, it's not, and who knows, you know, because we don't really have the science to determine, again, all of these planets hollow. We don't know. So what you're putting forth is very interesting and certainly quite possible.
Well, all I know is when I read about the hollow Earth, I started to cry. And that when that happens to you, where, you know, you're just crying and it's uncontrolled, it's like you've read something that's true, that your soul knows. So when I read about that, I just know that's correct.
And do you feel that any of these ancient crystal skulls really came from deep inside the Earth instead of from an extraterrestrial? Is that a possibility?
Yes. There are 2 people I know who specifically talked about that. One person was interviewed in Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, named Michael Kent. I have no idea where he is. He talked about that the inner Earth people had their own crystal skulls, had a set of 13 skulls. And then there's another lady, I guess her name is pronounced Ma'ia, who's in Hawaii, that also wrote about the inner Earth in the 1980s. But she talked about, I think, 52 skulls.
52, wow.
Yeah, 52. So different ones. So I think that the inner Earth most definitely is linked to the crystal skulls. That when I hear about this, it doesn't feel strange to me. I mean, if these are very advanced people who live in the fifth dimension, then why wouldn't they know about these sacred artifacts that have been on the Earth, especially if they were brought by extraterrestrials? You know, they would know about it. Maybe they would have some of their own. So according to Michael Kent, let's see if I remember this. I haven't, you know, when you write a book and it's so many years, you start to forget the information. I think what he was saying was is that the 13th skull came from the hollow Earth, and then they were brought onto the surface, and they went to Atlantis, and then they were in an underground city by Four Corners, you know, here in the United States. So he talked about these kind of things. So I do know 12 surrounding one is a key to the evolution of humanity, so that if the crystal skulls have some representation with that, like there's one set or multiple sets, that would make sense because, you know, the crystal skulls, the really very advanced ones, they kind of look like us. When I look at them, it's like I'm talking to an individual and a person, you know, I'm not afraid by their appearance. They're very friendly, loving, you know, type of beings. So I definitely think there's a connection of the number 13 with crystal skulls. Now, of course, some people said, well, if that's true, we got 13 skulls and we put it together and nothing happened. So maybe it is nothing. But I think there may be a specific set, and my feeling is that none of those original ones are in the physical right now. Their vibrational frequency is too high. Mm-hmm. So we have all these other ones. They come out. They are giving us a chance to, you know, get used to working with crystal skulls, not to look at a skull and yell and scream, oh, my God, it's a skull. It's death, doom, and evil. No. It's a positive tool that's here that looks like us. I mean, people ask me about that, and I say, what? The bone skull in our body is evil and the rest of the body isn't? No, everything is in divine perfection. There were higher beings who created this form, recognizing that, you know, as beings in this form, we have a great possibility of growth and learning and evolving and so on. And if you look at the UFO stuff, a lot of the beings we have contact with are humanoid. They may not look like us, but they have two arms, two legs, a head. It might look different, but they're kind of humanoid.
Well, Joshua, why don't you take this opportunity to give your website again so people can connect with you?
Yeah, thank you. So again, our website is crystalskullexplorers.com, or you can also email us at crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. And we're on everything. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And actually, if you look up Joshua Shapiro on Google or Crystal Skull Explorers, you can also find us. So for whatever reason, we have those keywords, as they say, but not so many people look at those keywords.
Yeah. Well, right now we'd like to give the number again. It's 646-478-0828 if you have a question for Joshua. And if you'll all stay tuned, when we come back, we'll be talking about ETs and UFOs. Right, Joshua?
Yep, sounds good to me.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Property tax bill. Have you seen it lately? It's frightening. Your property taxes are going up while your home value is going down. It's time to fight back and win. For the real truth about the property tax system, get attorney Pat Quintilian's book, Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Attorney Quintilian answers all your questions and gives you the facts you need to fight a property tax bill that is spiraling out of control. You'll also read about what happens to property owners who don't check their property records, only to find out too late they're taxed on square footage, fixtures, and even buildings that they don't own. Is this happening to you? Learn your rights. Buy attorney Pat Quintilian's book today. Are You Getting Screwed on Your Property Taxes? How to Find Out and How to Fix It. Available on Amazon.com.
Sometimes life can be a challenge. Would you like insight and guidance to help you make the best choices right now? Contact Helene at angelslighthouse.com to make your personal appointment for a psychic reading or energy alignment. Helene is a direct channel to the angelic realm and is remarkably capable of connecting to the living as well as to your loved ones on the other side. Helene is available to clients all over the world via phone or Skype, and it's simple to set up a group reading anywhere. Visit angelslighthouse.com, where you'll find an easy way to schedule right online. And while you're there, sign up for the Angels Lighthouse newsletter and receive information on all the free energy circles, giveaways, and jewelry with a message. Visit angelslighthouse.com and contact Helene today.
For staying tuned. Patricia, are you there?
I am. I certainly am. I'm hanging on every word that Joshua was saying here because I've been fascinated with crystal skulls for years. And Joshua, you're the first expert that I'm having a chance to listen to this evening. And I just love your dedication to this. You certainly have an affinity for these skulls, it goes beyond space and time, and it's great that you're bringing all of this knowledge to us in the audience and to me as a co-host tonight. I find it so fascinating. I do have a question, though. Why a skull? I mean, why did they choose a skull as an amplifier? I mean, we know crystals amplify just on their own, just raw and rough. So why choose a skull for them to host this energy or these portals?
Right. Well, these are my ideas to try to answer that question, because every time I'm interviewed or we do a presentation, somebody no doubt is going to ask this question. I think that the higher intelligence that designed our physical form designed the bone skull in our body to be able to receive cosmic knowledge and information. And I think that what happens is it's just like a pyramid. If you go one-third of the way down in a pyramid that's formed properly, it rejuvenates metal and it has a special property. So I think it's the same with our human bone skull, that it has the ability to receive this information. Of course, it depends on the individual, where they are in their spiritual growth. The information has to come down through different levels. Now, as you said, quartz crystal already is a transmitter and receiver for various vibrational frequencies. And Marion Bradley Zimmer, I forget the name of the book that everybody knows, but she wrote another book called House Between the Worlds, and I think she picked this up. She said quartz crystal is the only substance that when it goes from dimension to dimension stays in the same form. Like if we take, you know, a pen and we go into another dimension, maybe it's, you know, a piece of paper or something like that. So if this is true, it means that also quartz crystal is, you know, like a dimensional door in which there can be different frequencies and energies that come through. But combine that ability with the shape of the skull, a human bone skull, which has this ability to receive cosmic knowledge. Like, for example, if you look at the Mesoamerican cultures, they are not afraid of the shape of the skull because they understand it's a connection to the Godhead, as if this shape allows us to communicate with God because of its shape. So what I think happened is in Atlantis and Lemuria, it's possible they may have had a technology where they were able to crystallize their entire body, and maybe we're just finding the skulls. According to some information I read on Mitchell Hedges, they were in, I guess, the Bimini Islands or Bahamas in that area, or some islands off South America, and they found a cave with an entire crystal boy, and the natives said it was cursed. So I think that there may exist an entire crystal skeleton. So it could be that maybe some of these older skulls, they actually have a skeleton. Or another thing that was told to me one time in a conference is that when a person died, their human bone skull was converted into quartz crystal so that they could continue to have access to the knowledge and information of that individual when they were alive. So I see many reasons for making a crystal skull, but mostly when I look at them, I see them as either like the ancient computers. Like one time, I have a friend that works at Microsoft here in the Seattle area where we live. She got me into Microsoft, so I said, you guys work with the modern computers, but here, Portal de Luz represents the ancient computers. So it may have been that they created the skulls also to act like computers and store all kinds of information. And I do believe that there will be a day in the future where we will be able to access in the very old skulls the information that's been encoded. It would be similar to the idea if I go back 100 years and I brought a DVD and I go around and I show everyone, you see this disc? There's moving pictures on here. There's an entire library of books. There's music. There's electronic games. They'll go, what, are you insane? Are you crazy? So I think we haven't yet come, or maybe we have. Maybe there are some people who have a technology and they're not telling us, but I keep seeing in my mind's eye one day where there'll be a monitor you connect to a crystal skull, and there'll be a picture. On the picture will be a person that'll be talking to you, giving you information. Ah, finally, you figured out how to connect into the skull to get this information. We've been waiting for you to do that.
Interesting.
And I have to say, in reading ancient crystal skulls, what I've gotten is a lot of historical information about the people that created them, what they looked like, where they were living, how they created them, you know, things like that. And so they do hold a lot of data.
Yeah.
Now, Helene, are you gonna speak to this crystal skull this evening so we can hear what this one has to say?
No, I can try. I mean, he's got so many there. They're like a crowd. And I have to say that most of them, not all, but most of them are very connected together. There's two or three that sort of stand aside of the others. They like to be on their own a little bit more. Does that make sense to you, Joshua?
Well, I think the ones that stand to the side are the newer ones that we've added recently.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that we've had for a long time, it's like they're so integrated with each other.
Right. They're really like a family. And they're absolutely communicating with each other and with you. And I have to say that they're all very respectful. They're not trying to wake you up at night or chattering endlessly. You know, they're very peaceful with you.
Well, with me, yeah. I don't know about my partner Katrina sometimes, because she can hear them more than I do, which is very interesting.
Mm.
She actually hears a distinct voice, so she knows which skull's speaking, whereas I hear it as my thinking voice. But that's always the way it's been for me. And that's actually when I write, too. It's really amazing. You know, I'm sitting there writing, and all of a sudden I just start hearing, you say it like this. Well, this is pretty good. So it's almost like I'm not writing, like somebody's helping me. And,
who's the gray crystal skull that you have? Who's the gray one?
Light gray one is Portal de Luz, and the darker gray one is Geronimo Golden Eagle Eye.
Okay, I think
so
it's the first one that sort of... He's trying to talk to me because he's sort of the leader or the lead person in this group. And and he's gently in charge. This isn't about a powerful energy that's trying to overtake anyone else. But he's actually talking about how much he enjoys connecting with people who come near him. This is one that you really want to sort of parade out because he absolutely connects with any vibration that wants true energy, that wants, you know, a real higher vibration. And even though he belongs to you and you're his dad, it's like, no, he loves to connect with everybody. He wants to show people the reality of this connection and the vibration that can be sort of reset inside their system. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that sounds about right. He loves people. He's the media skull, so he's actually
going to tell. Oh, really? Yeah, so you really take him a lot of places with you?
Well, yeah, they pretty much go with us everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
We figured out a system between two carrying cases that we can take all of them. Rosalita has to be in her own case, and the other skulls will fit in the other one, but the Blue Skull book, which we released in March, one of our readers was reading through it and had a lapis lazuli skull, blue, I'm looking at it right now, and she had to send it to us in order to fulfill prophecy, which was a dream I had in Peru that Portal de Luz would be next to a blue skull. So when this other skull came, which we call Rabbi, because it has like a little white spot on the top of its head for its geometry, But I talked about a rabbi appearing in the dream, too, so this is the other reason why the name came up. So the blue was together, and I think it's holding the space for the blue one in Peru I've been looking for.
It's amazing. I mean, they're just so connected, and they're so enthralled with being able to be in touch with humanity. And I think that's why they came to you, is because you are doing public events and so forth. And you don't want a skull that shuts down at a public event or one that only wants to work with a certain person. You want ones that can educate everybody who comes along. And this gray skull is very, very in tune with humanity. I'm surprised at how sort of up with the times this skull is. This one really gets where people are at and is really trying to increase people's vibration.
Yes, because what he told me when I first got him, which was in Sedona, Arizona, in 1999, is he said, even though I'm a new skull, I'm going to be an ambassador for my entire family. So,
oh, nice. So that's right in line with what he's telling me, yeah. that's really nice.
So what he needs to do is be an example of his brothers and sisters, but because he's not, well, he says, I shouldn't say this, because he wasn't made long ago, he may not have all of those higher frequencies, but he has picked up certain frequencies. Otherwise, this Mayan shaman would have never thought that he's an old Earth girl.
He has amazingly high vibration, especially because he's so open to connecting it to humanity that when people walk up to him and look at him, they can feel his energy, whether they think they're intuitive or not. It really does something to reset their entire energetic system.
Right. But he still wants to hold a place of being an example of a new skull, but he holds that place by also showing that a new skull, being in the presence of his older brothers and sisters, going to sacred sites like Peru, Pyramid on Mexico, he really liked that when we were on the Sun Pyramid. In Stonehenge, in crop circles, places where there were UFO, went with me to Peru when I was looking for the blue skull. So he's had a lot of experiences, and he's been able to, absorb all these different frequencies, but he's able to regulate it. So if a person is just a beginner that's not really exposed to the crystal skull, he won't overwhelm them. He's got modern energies. He knows how to work with the people. It's kind of like the vision he's showing me is it's like he's a bridge. He has access to the older brothers and sisters, but he also has access, to the energies of today.
I'm getting him more as, like I said earlier, a telephone, that there is an actual being connected to this particular skull, and the being is not of this planet. It's of another time and space, and I don't know whether this is accurate or not, but I keep hearing the word Sirius, and I'm not really sure what planet that would be there, but...
Well, the Sirians, if we get into the UFOs, had something to do with the evolution of humanity. So
it
would make sense if it was somebody from Sirius. Also, for the group that I work with very closely, which are called Wanderers, Cosmic Wanderers, that's what my soul essence is, they have a strong connection with Sirius, too.
Okay. So he's sort of like a representative or a humanitarian representative from there that's connected to the skull so that he can broadcast higher vibration and get people who are just beginners or just look at this to take a bigger interest in it, And it's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm telling him that I'm honored and I appreciate his connecting with me. And he's just a very gentle, loving spirit. I mean, this is just beautiful. But, yeah, so... What is your feeling about extraterrestrials or UFOs, particularly in connection with the skulls?
Well, as I said in the beginning, when I first started my, being a wandering Jew and doing my spiritual quest, I got first involved with UFOs. But when I think back to the things that I saw and experienced in the 80s compared to what's going on now, I think things have shifted tremendously. But we were doing research with the crystal skulls, especially the ancient ones, we were trying to come up with theories. Where did they come from? Were they made, by advanced civilizations? Were they gifts from the gods, et cetera? So I think that there are various of the so-called ancient or very old skulls which probably originated from as gifts from the gods, from extraterrestrials. And the proof of this, in our first book, Mystery of the Crystal Skulls Revealed, more with the co-authors Bowen and Nazareno, they were able, for example, they had like 3 weeks to work with the Mitchell Hedges skull, I think it was in 1985, and they were taking all kinds of pictures and doing all kinds of things, working with stones and different energies. And they recorded within the Mitchell Hedges skull what looks like extraterrestrial beings and flying ships. Now, at that point, when we started to share some of those pictures, like at Whole Life Expos and when we had a chance to do public talks, we couldn't definitely say that
that particular skull may have come from extraterrestrials, but what we were explaining is that it was recording this activity around it. But I think because there's a link with crystal skulls, with the hollow earth, and I think with the indigenous people who, you know, very easily the gods could have brought them these sacred tools to work with and help them, there most definitely is some link. Now, there is one crystal skull called E.T., which is a human-sized smoky quartz skull that's with the Van Dieten family, and I've worked with Yoki Van Dieten for many years. That skull does not look like a human bone skull. It looks alien. There is another crystal skull called Windsong, which is with my friend Floyd Petrie, who was one of the speakers on our online crystal skull conference we had in March. We've done two online crystal skull conferences so far, and I'm hoping to do another one in the fall. So this is another way your listeners can learn about the crystal skulls right in their house. They can watch this entire conference go on. And his skull called Windsong, spiritual mediums that he worked with said that the essence of the spirit that works through that skull comes from a galaxy really, really far away. And the closest to pronounce the name of this being was Song of the Wind. So they called it Windsong. And then we have another skull called Synergy, which one time when I was able to work with that skull, I saw a lion face over it, like it was created based on a humanoid race, but they look like lions, closest that could be described. Sort of like mm-hmm. what you see in Star Wars, where you see all these different aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So these things, these specific skulls and experiences with them, also for me, besides what I feel, I think points that there, you know, there's an extraterrestrial connection. So, but as you well know, the whole subject of UFOs is very complex. We have many different races apparently who are contacting us. And as I mentioned to you prior to coming online, there is a special report that we've been sharing with people, which has to do with information related to UFOs, which is all public, that, you know, going to the library, looking at books, and also some of the interviews on YouTube with people, that as I was watching it, I was just getting like utter confirmation, but there was a reason for this confirmation. And this is, try to summarize this story very briefly. In 1989 to 1991, I lived in Las Vegas. So I was very much aware of, you know, this base that was by Las Vegas, Area 51, which they were trying to keep secret, but you know, everybody in Las Vegas knew about it. And also in Las Vegas, I saw more UFO clouds appearing at one time, I think, than any other place that I've ever been, which could have something to do with that, you know, base that was there. But what happened to me is one day, you know, I'm walking on a major street. I think I was going to go to McDonald's. I was still eating McDonald's at the time. I don't know, but you know, I think I was
the food
lazy
is the enlightened.
Yeah. I think I was just lazy, you know, and it was just there, and I was hungry, and I said, "Well, it's not that expensive," so I'm just going to eat my lunch, and all of a sudden, the next thing I know is there's a loud screech behind me. I'm fearless, so you know, I don't turn around to look. I just feel protected, and 2 days later, I wake up probably for about 30 seconds, I'm tied down to a bed, I don't know where I am, and then the next day I come back to consciousness, and the doctor says, "Do you remember the truck that hit you?" And I'm going, "What the heck is this person talking about?" But, you know, what happened was, is I was struck from behind by a van. My body flew up into the air, it landed in a gravel area, but I don't remember any of that. And when I went back to the place where this van hit me, it also hit a light pulse, and I felt nothing. So my understanding of what this experience was about when I was in coma for 3 days was that I had to go into the inner levels, and there needed to be a reason why somebody was going to take care of my body while I was gone. Because when I went onto an airplane, maybe a month or a month and a half after this, I swear to God, it felt like you know, I've been on a ship or something that took me somewhere. So I think what happened is they took, let's call it my soul, my energy body, whatever you want to call it, that left. There was nothing there. I was tied down in the hospital because I was doing strange things. So I'm guessing other spirits said, hey, there's nobody there. We're going to try to come in through this body. And the only things that I had, so somebody saved me because I could have been dead from this, is I had a bad scrape on one of my ankles and the back of my shoulders were stiff. But other than that, there wasn't really any problem. And the other clue was I was very low energy. It took me like 2 or 3 months before I could go through an entire day and have the normal energy. So usually when you're low energy, it means that you've been somewhere that's so different than here that you have to, you need that time to integrate it so that you can all come back together. Anyway, the bottom line of this experience is I had to go to some kind of meetings on an inner level. I have a picture. It's like, you know, where you look at a movie and you can only see one still, you know, one image at a time. That's it. I have one image of being in a meeting like Princess Amidala was in Star Wars #1, where there's these beings from all over the place. I just see being in a room with all these people. And the bottom line of this, at this meeting in 1990, of course, time and space don't mean anything where I was. So even though I was gone 3 days, I could have been there for months. I don't know, because I wasn't allowed to remember too much. But I remember that they said, here is what's going to happen in the future on planet Earth. And here's how, see, this is probably why I know this is going to happen, how the transformation into the golden age is going to happen. And I saw the whole thing. And then I remember when I came back, I remember there was like a black door in front of me, and I knew that when I went through there, I would come back to Earth, and there was somebody I was talking to who was like a friend, I knew them, and I was begging and pleading, what do you mean I'm not going to remember any of this? If I could tell everybody what I just saw, it would help everybody, and we would have world peace. And he said, no, you're not going to be allowed to remember until it's the right time. 2013. Is very special. Everybody was thinking December 21st, 2012. That was it. And I remember on another radio show, there was one woman, a light worker, who said, we were so hoping the golden age was going to happen, and I'm so depressed because nothing changed. We're still going through this stuff. Well, what happened is, at the end of last year, as far as I can tell, is there was an energy, special energy that got built up because there are all these groups that were meditating. We were doing it too. On the 13th of December, we did our World Peace Meditation. On the 1st and 2nd of December, we had our Crystal Skull Conference. It's like, you know, our group was participating, and I heard about, you know, stuff on December 21st and 12-12-12. There was all this stuff. So there was a lot of people that were working for higher frequency. But I noticed that as we went into 2013, something was working differently. Like,
so
if somebody
did you remember then in 2013? You remember this year?
So this year I'm starting to remember, but how it's coming is something saying, you should take that book up. I'm reading it. You know what? What they're writing here, this is what I saw. This is it. This is the truth. So that's what this report is. It's all the stuff I saw in the books and what I saw in the interviews that I knew was truth. I wrote that down in that report, and I told people, you need to study this if you want to fully understand what's going on with UFOs. Now, there's one key that was made in the information that I saw, which most people don't get it. They think the extraterrestrials are coming from other places and visiting us. And according to this information, this is all public information, so I can't verify if this is true or not, other than say that after my experience, when I heard it, something said, yep, that's how it is, that's how it is. Is they've already been here for thousands of years. They're not coming.
Yes.
You know, some of them are coming from through black holes or stargates or whatever it is. But, you know, they've been here for a long time. So disclosure, like I talked to, Dr. Leo Sprinkle, one of the first people to hypnotically regress people that were having abductions and contact with extraterrestrials. And he's still with us, and he's still doing it. And he has such a positive attitude about him, delight to talk to him. I asked him when I interviewed him, you think disclosure is coming soon? And he says, yes, but I think it's coming because all the information that they try to hide, if you go to the library, if you follow, like, this report, the books that I recommend, or, you know, some of the videos I'm talking about, then you're going to hear exactly what's going on. My friend Floyd Petrie, who had Windsong, he worked for the Secret Service. He was involved with some stuff with UFOs, so he said, you know, for my military things, when I gave them my promise I wouldn't talk about it, I can't talk about it. But he did tell us, he said, everything you see on television, all the science fiction stuff, Star Wars, they already have all these things. It already exists, the Stargates and everything. So I just know, the only way I can say this is I feel the extraterrestrial friends who are in another dimension could be just slightly different than our own. They are so close to us right now. I think they're going to do something. I call it a positive 9/11, where it's just going to wake people up. They're going to, but see, the thing is they have to plan this properly because there's still a lot of people who may be afraid of this. Probably not so much the younger people, because we have all the books, movies, and the TV shows and everything. But they have to plan this properly. But, you know, all
I kind of think that all of this 5D energy that's been coming up and all these new gateways to source and all of that that came in the past few years, by the time disclosure comes this year, next year, whenever it is, some people are going to be yawning because so many are aware of it. You know, it's just been brought right into our faces with media and with people like you, that I think that it won't be the big shock.
I agree, Helene. I do think that, you know, we've gotten to a point where people don't trust the government. People don't trust our institutions. They've gotten too big and too unwieldy, and they're all self-serving. So, you know, people really understand that there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And in terms of extraterrestrials or interdimensionals or whatever they are, I think most intelligent people know that there is other life out there, and there is other life in other dimensions that are somehow connected to ours. It's just that we don't understand the technology to unearth a lot of this stuff, and sometimes it's not even technology as we know it to get to the bottom of all of this. But, you know, I don't think we can have disclosure from our government until things get so out of control. There's so much going on, whether it's fleets of UFOs that suddenly appear and they can't, you know, the damage control would be too enormous. And that's the only way that I think our governmental institutions are going to come clean about this. What do you think?
Go ahead. I was going to say, even people that I know personally who don't believe any of this stuff, they're still watching the YouTube and being fascinated by the photographs and the videos. You know, it's being brought into everybody's awareness on
exactly.
some level.
Exactly. Exactly. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the key is for me, my father has, you know, he was the one who actually found me one of the most important UFO books I ever read. You know, he just knew I was interested. But all of a sudden, he started asking me questions about it, and I thought that he was a representative of the people who weren't sure, that they're starting to think, well, you know, maybe there's something to it. And what I've been feeling is an explosion that's about to happen, that regardless whether, although there are some governments, the Brazilian government now is starting to share, the Belgian government is starting to share, and I think I heard England, too, is starting to release some of its documents.
And Russia, Russia also.
Yeah, Russia. But in Brazil, what happened, which was remarkable, and I know this man, he invited me to speak in 2008 at his UFO conference, is they asked him, a UFO researcher, to come to the government building. He was one of the speakers at the disclosure meeting they had at the end of April and early May in Washington, D.C. They asked him to come to help them with this UFO stuff. So they're probably saying, we have to start to let people know we don't know how to do it. Let's bring in the people who've been working on this and kind of combine it. So I really think we're coming forward to that. And You know, when it comes, though, it's kind of hard to imagine how will this change our world, because, you know, there's probably a lot of people, religious people, I would believe, that may have some difficulty with it or whatever, but when it's right in front of you, and by the way, there have already been sightings where there wasn't just one ship, there was like 50 or 100 ships or 100 lights in the sky. So they're
right.
Already do.
Yeah, I'm aware of those, but again, there's enough out there to control certain pockets of this. If it got global, it would be very, very difficult for governments to manage damage control on it. But
even the Vatican came out with a statement about extraterrestrials.
Oh yeah, they want to take ownership there, no question. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's another thought that I have about the crystal skulls, because what is their true purpose? And I know, Helene, you said they're like a telephone for you because they start chatting away with you, mm-hmm. and because you're a psychic medium, you can hear them, you can understand what they're saying. But here's another thought about them, and I'd like to know what you both think, because it seems to me that, again, if you go back to ancient Egyptian times and you look at the sacred eye, you look at the inner workings of the human brain, there's a lot there about connecting to other dimensions and connecting to the God self. And do you think that possibly these crystal skulls are meant to do that for people? They're almost like, if I look at them, what I see is a helmet. You know, it's almost like you put this kind of this architectural plan on your own head, and what do you get? You get an enlightened, connected experience. Is that also what they're for, is to wake up the inner workings of the brain that connect to the God self?
I would say absolutely yes.
Yeah.
That's what has been my experience, you know, and meditating with it, and I'm in visions, and, you know, that all seems to be connected to higher consciousness and linking into to the higher self. I know that there were some skulls made which were hollow skulls that would actually fit around a person's head. So with the helmet, yeah. There's one in I don't know if the Smithsonian has this skull or it's just one of the archaeologists within the Smithsonian who has it, but it's quite huge. I've not seen that one, but I could imagine that it might be big enough to fit around a person's head. So that might be why there are hollow skulls, because nobody has come up with an explanation for the hollow skulls that are coming out of Mexico, and those definitely are not that easy to carve. You know, the crystal would crack if you started to do something like this. So there must have been, you know, some technology we don't understand to make those.
Can you comment more on the Golden Age that's coming soon?
Well, the Golden Age for me comes from my future self in this lifetime. Now, let me explain that. There is a guide who calls himself Argus. And actually, I went back on the internet on my old site, VJ Enterprises. I actually wrote down sort of like what the future is going to be like. And it seemed to come from Argus, who I assume is my future self. What Argus says is, and I also have to add something else to this too, because there's a medium that we work with here in the Seattle area, and she has one guy, every time we talk to him, talks about this too. So I'm going to combine these two concepts because they may be connected somehow. So wherever Argus is, when I talk to him, I see through his eyes what he sees. And this is, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the future. So through Argus, he says, in this place where he is, there is total peace. The people are living in communities. The community becomes your family. There is contact with extraterrestrials. There are ships flying in the air, which may already exist. They're in another dimension, and when we go into the higher dimensions, then all of a sudden you have these flying cities that are already there. I don't know if that's where it comes from. You communicate with the plants and the animals telepathically, contact with the inner earth, and it's like a utopia. Now, the question that gets asked is, how is it possible where we are now that in, you know, relatively short period of time we could have this? Now, the answer may come through this medium that we work with, Teresa, has a guide called Simeon. And what Simeon keeps saying is, there are two Earths. And he said, okay, what do you mean? There's third-dimensional Earth, and there's fifth-dimensional Terra. And we are working on fifth-dimensional Terra so that for the people whose vibration is accelerating and they're going through their spiritual growth and everything, we can say they're light workers, they'll wake up one day and they'll look around, and the room will, you know, look familiar, but they'll notice there's a difference because this dimension is almost a duplicate of the third. And according to Simeon, he's saying that this will be completed by September of 2015. So there'll be two Earths. Now, could be what the Bible talks about, one in the field is taken and one stays, which is like the rapture, where it's just somebody's going into another dimension. This may also be the reason why with Bigfoot, we can't find these Bigfoot. They're leaving physical proof, but then they disappear. According to Stan Johnson, who had contact with Bigfoot, and I worked with him to do his book, and this was again back in the 80s, he said that they took him into this other dimension, and there are actually human beings that live in this other dimension. And when they brought him to the door, he had to take off all his clothes, and he had to have no metal to go through into the other dimension. So, you know, I don't know if Argus is talking about the fifth-dimensional Earth where, you know, everybody's living together harmoniously, and third-dimensional Earth still will have challenges. I'm not totally sure about that. I know, Helene, you were talking about fifth-dimensional energies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the report, which, by the way, is available to anybody who's interested, we just asked for a donation for this report. One of the interviews was with a person who claims that he was born in the Hollow Earth named Colonel Woodard, but he also has his inner Earth name. He looks like a really crazy guy, but when I listened to what he had to say, again, you know, with this experience in 1990, I just knew what he was talking about was correct. There, I mean, I would go into his energy, and I would say, you know, this person is completely sincere in what he's saying. He's not trying to make anything up. So they're in the fifth dimension, but when they brought him and his sister, he claims when they were very young, they had to get accustomed to being in the third dimensional reality. It was very difficult and took them a while to do that. But according to what I understood, he was saying, if we were to go into the inner Earth, our bodies would adapt itself to go into the fifth dimension where they are, and there's your utopia or paradise. And there's mm-hmm. probably many different galactic races that also live with these people, and the Hollow Earth people are always defined as being tall, like 13 to 16 foot tall. So, and that's purportedly
What you're talking about the dimensions being separate and there's a fifth-dimensional Earth and all of that, that's been widely reported, widely written about from many mediums, and I've heard similar information where humanity is actually going to separate in some way, and that those people of much higher vibration getting closer to an enlightened state will be actually experiencing a whole separate reality from the rest of Earth.
He was saying right now, the fourth is the in-between, you know, medium, let's
yeah.
say.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
You know,
not too
like
good in the fourth. Not too
well,
good in the fourth. There's a lot of lower energy and a lot of, like, thoughts and negativity, and this is good, too, but it's kind of a mixed bag. Yeah,
yeah, it's the part that's between these two. And I forgot, I should have written it down, but I haven't
mm-hmm.
recorded it. Eventually,
mm-hmm.
we'll probably put these. We did three interviews with her guides. We'll probably put it in a book some
yeah.
point. But the main thing was the concept of the two Earths,
mm-hmm.
which might be similar to the idea that some people said they've seen two moons.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I saw that on the internet, that
mm-hmm.
there were like two moons people were seeing at the same time, which could have been a bleed through from the other dimension again.
Right.
But the other concept that's linked to this too is I think in the TV series Sliders that was shown on the Sci-Fi Channel is the idea of parallel Earths. I think this is also going on too. And what I got one time is in Atlantis they performed an experiment, and in order for reality to not be thrown because they were breaking things, like what happened in the Philadelphia experiment where they were working with energies they didn't understand, they had to allow different timelines to be created from that point of the experiment. So we have these parallel Earths. So there's a possibility, too, that the transformation into the Golden Age will bring together all these parallel Earths at some point also. But that's just an idea I have. I haven't really heard other people talk about that. It's just an interesting concept. So the bottom line is, 2013, we're starting to see bleeding through into our reality, these two realities. And what the key seems to be is whatever you believe and whatever you think, it's what you're going to create. So if you're thinking, you know, I want to live a positive life, I don't need to know, you know, what's going to happen in the next month or two, I'm just going to trust in Creator and God and all of that, that it'll just find its way to work out, that's what's going to happen. And if you believe, well, you know, I'm worried about this and I'm afraid about this, you're putting that energy out, you're telling the universe you want to have more fear and more panic and, you know, stay there. So the key is, you know, just go day by day. Don't try to figure it out. Just be calm. And actually, in May, we went through that experience. There were a few days where the bank account was getting low and we didn't know what to do. And Spirit just said, offer your report by donation. And I never saw something like donations coming.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe
it. It's amazing. I mean, I thought absolutely creates our reality.
So I just turned it over to God and I said, you know, you want me to share this information? Because a lot of times in the past we have and, you know, never got support. I never saw what happened. It was a miracle. And it just
Joshua, we have one telephone caller who I'm going to take now. He's been waiting for a while. Is that okay with you, Patricia?
Yes, please. Take the question
okay.
from him.
All right. Hello, caller from area code 817. What is your name?
My name's Becky.
Hi, Becky. How are you today? Thanks for calling the show. Do you have a question for Joshua?
I do. I was wondering, Joshua, are you familiar with quartz crystals that have record keepers on them?
Yes, I'm aware that there are such crystals, and I think when we say a record keeper, we're talking about probably from Atlantis or Lemuria, advanced crystals that they use that have survived that are coming back probably to the individuals who work with them in the other lifetimes. So I most definitely know they exist.
Do you know whether, do you feel like they communicate or are bound to communicate with the crystal skulls?
They may be a different, and this isn't the right word, but it's the only word I can think of, a different technology, if you will. But because they're made from the same material, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to communicate with the crystal skulls. Portal de Luz, which is the skull I've been talking about, said it's possible, depending upon what kind of record keeper it is, that the information in the crystal skull, if the other crystal is in its presence, could actually be put into that crystal. Because I had a vision when I was working with the Mitchell Hedges skull that in Atlantis, there was a special room you could come into where the crystal skulls were stored, and people would bring their personal crystals and place it in the eye, and then the crystal skull would download information, and then they would be able to work with that crystal in their home. Mm. So I think the record keepers would be able to do this, to receive directly, very quickly, the energy and information from the skulls that's appropriate to the owner of that, and then the person can work with that.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, what a great question, Becky. Thank you so much for calling tonight.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Becky.
Thank you.
Thanks, Becky.
Yep. Thank you, Becky.
That was a great question. And, you know, record keepers or crystals that have stored records, they absolutely also talk and communicate. So it's a very fascinating question. I loved it. Yeah.
Well, there is one experience I had with Dr. Brown's Atlantean crystal ball that I think would add to this question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the listeners know about this, but there was a man named Dr. Brown who worked with Jacques Cousteau. And when they were in the, I guess it was the Bimini area, he went, and there was a storm that uncovered what's on the bottom of the ocean floor. He went down into the water and found a pulsating white pyramid. He was able to go inside for a brief time, came to a room where there were two golden hands that were holding a crystal ball. I don't know if this part is correct, but I heard a voice said to him, take the crystal ball and leave and never come back. And so he had retrieved this crystal ball in the 60s. So the time we saw it, it was with a new guardian, and he had taken the crystal ball to, I forget what they call these islands off of Florida, Key West, I guess we went to. And there was a spiritual center there. We brought our skulls. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to have a direct experience of the ball to see how its energy affected me compared to the crystal skulls. So the sensing that I got, and the man who had the ball, and generally this never happens to me, but I guess it was supposed to, he said, open your hands up, and he positioned my hands just like the golden hands holding the ball, and placed the ball in my right hand. So I was actually holding it and meditating with it. And what I felt was the difference was the crystal skulls are alive. When I'm talking with them, there's a living consciousness that's talking back. It's perfectly normal for me. With the ball, it was a programmed consciousness. It was not a living consciousness. It was somehow the ball was programmed to respond, just like a computer program. You go on our computer and you start talking to a program, and depending upon which keys you hit and what information you give, you get information back. That's how the ball felt. But it was very powerful, and it was able to link in, and, you know, it really, I'm sure it shifted my energy, but it wasn't like a living consciousness. So I would equate the Atlantean ball to like a record keeper, that a living being, a living consciousness program that crystal, put information into it, but it's just responding to energy. You know, it's an advanced crystal that's responding. Like if it has certain information and your energy resonates with certain information, then that's what the crystal is going to give to you. So that's how I would compare a record keeper or the ball to the skull. I mean, I look at Portal de Luz, and it's a person, you know? It's a, it's like my son, almost, you know? He's still young. He's a comedian. He loves life. And like you said, he loves people. And when we do a public presentation, we dance together. How we dance, I throw him in the air. I've never dropped him. I can't throw him in the air like they did on the Indiana Jones film, where they're throwing the skull to each other. There's no way that could happen. He's only 10 pounds. The skull they have would be 30 or 40 pounds. I can only throw it maybe 2 feet above me, and that's it, because it's still heavy.
Well, thank goodness he never dropped the poor guy.
No.
no, but if
you know, I do have a question. I do have a question about can any of these skulls, ancient, especially, carry any of the dark energy, anything that is really not helpful to humankind?
Well, let's take an experience I had in Mexico City. I believe that the ones that we call ancient, and everybody wants to make their skull ancient, and this is what concerns me, is the ones really that come from these advanced cultures or from the extraterrestrials, they have their own protection system. Mitchell has his skull, has its own protection system. So I don't believe that there is any human being, even the most powerful psychic or whatever, that can work. You know, those skulls, and if they get, like, you know, a virus comes in or something on our computer, the skull will destroy itself rather than be misused. However, in the in-between time, let's say between Atlantis and now, you know, there were other crystal skulls made by people, And in the case of when I was in Mexico City, there was, I don't know if it was an old or an ancient skull, definitely an old skull was presented. It had symbols carved into it, but it had a very dark energy connected to it. So what I'm saying is, if a crystal skull is going to record everything that goes on around it, what happens if they make a skull and they're doing sacrifices with it? What kind of energy is picked up? This man's inhumanity to man. And the energy with that skull was really dark, and it was so strong that I became actually sick and ill, even though I worked really hard on it. Now, the problem with this situation is that for some people who don't believe in crystal skulls, if there's one crystal skull that exists that has dark energy, then they all are death, doom, and evil and of dark energy. And we can throw out all the reports of people who have crystal skulls that have been greatly assisted. Like, for example, with this amethyst skull that I first saw, one of the guardians before it was sold, he had a blood vessel in his head that wasn't growing properly, and the doctor said, look, if you were 20 or 30 years old, we could do a surgery and you'd be fine, but you're 60, so we can't guarantee that this is going to work. You may be like a vegetable, and he said, do the surgery anyway, and he became like a vegetable, but he communicated to his family, put the amethyst skull next to his skull on the ground, and all he thought, I'm going to be healed, and 2 months later, he had full recovery. So these are the kind of things that can go on around the skulls, and I believe, you know, with this skull, it's called a me, which means my friend, taught me that, you know, they were given to humanity to help us to remember who we are as divine beings. But what does humanity do? It'll take something that's good and say, well, how can I use that for myself? How can I use that to have power over others? And so in the case, I think the spell I work with, Mexico City, was used in that way, and we were trying to help to rebalance the energy, and it was apparently around a lot of strong things. That was one of the things that I actually, in Mexico City, is there was a lot of both positive strong energies and negative strong energies.
Well, the universe is a neutral place, and anything can be absorbed by the intention that people and other beings put on it, and that's the way it is in all of our thoughts, right? And, you know, this has been such an amazing conversation. I mean, you are a wealth of information, Joshua, and you related it so beautifully to the audience so that we could understand. Right, Patricia?
Oh, yeah, and your life experiences are fascinating. I mean, your near-death experience and all of the things that happened to you while you were unconscious for 3 days that are still, it sounds like, making its way to the light so we can all hear about what is to come. I mean, you have had a fascinating life following these skulls around the world and other worlds. So it's very inspiring to listen to you because, like you said, you have to trust sometimes, even when the money's not there, that the connection you have to the spirit or to the source or to whatever you want to call it is going to provide for you. And these are basic tenets for living a life from an open heart. So it's just great to listen to you talk about all of these things and the adventure of your life, which is in concert with these crystal skulls.
Now, one last thing I want to just quickly mention before we finish. The title of
Well, Blog Talk is going to be evil about this. Go ahead, Joshua.
Journey of the Crystal Skull Explorers, Travel Log Number 2, Search for the Blue Skull in Peru. So we have it in an e-book in a printed form. If they go to crystalskullexplorers.com, they'll see a really cool video we got, which has pictures from those 3 trips that I took that the book covers about the blue skull. So...
Yeah,
anyway,
crystalexplorers.com, everybody should go on over there, and I think we have that listed on supernaturalgirls.com, right, Patricia?
I believe we do, and also go to supernaturalgirls.com and subscribe to our email so that you can get all kinds of wonderful offers and free books that we give away and things like that. So please join us next week. We've got a fabulous guest, Robin Foy from the Skull Experiment returns. So... please join us again, and again, Helene, it's been a wonderful evening.
It really has, and that's because of Joshua. He's just fabulous, and we're so hoping that he comes back and joins us again sometime soon. It's really been an education for everybody. Thank you, Patricia.
Thank you, Helene. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, our wonderful audience. And we will talk to you again next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for another radio adventure with